Good morning, everyone. How are we feeling this morning? We ready? Yes, you guys slept good last night, didn't you? Man, listen, I'm honored to be here with you guys today. Welcome to church. Want to welcome everyone watching with us online this morning as well. Man, listen, we are a week away from Easter. I mean, it is here, so if you haven't already, make sure that you are ready for it. We got our outfits together. Come on, we're inviting people, and we're not inviting people just for the sake of Easter and to invite people for Easter. But the reality is, it is so people too can experience Jesus in the way that so many of us have been able to experience Jesus. And I know, listen, you just heard it on the announcements, but Friday night, there will be a good Friday night of worship, both here in Alabaster and at our Columbiana campuses. And then Sunday morning at Columbiana, 9 and 10:15, and here in Alabaster, 9, 10:15, and an 11:30 experience, just to be able to make more room for people again to experience Jesus. And the 11:30 is not just an Easter Sunday type of thing, but it's something we're going to continue just so more people can come to know the Lord. But listen, if you want to pull out your notes inside to worship God, follow with us today as we are wrapping up this series, If You Know, You Know. And this whole series, you know, it's amazing. It's all coming together and finishing the week before Easter because we've been talking about our faith all month. We've been talking about sharing our faith and what that should actually look like for us. And this whole idea of if you know, you know, is really coming from this idea of, you know, being exclusive. Like, I was there, I experienced it, you didn't, ha 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 ha, you don't know how cool it was. And that's really what it's kind of become, is like, man, you had to be there to see it. It's like watching a video on your phone that's just so great and so hilarious right next to someone, and we don't want to share it to that person. It's like, oh yeah, too late, I've already scrolled past it, you can't see it. But it makes us feel good sometimes to be like, hey, I was a part of that. These other people weren't. Man, I feel special about that. And that's really kind of what this whole idea of if you know, you know, is all about. It's really coming from FOMO culture, which FOMO, the fear of missing out, because we don't want to miss out on stuff. We want to be able to experience stuff. We want to be able to see things. And man, we want to be a part of it as well. And listen, this series comes out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. And it says this, it says, you are the light of the world. That's amazing news. Yes, you with your jacked up background, yes, you too are the light of the world. With all your mistakes, all of your stuff, all the things you've gone through, Jesus is telling you right here, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Why? Because that would be really dumb. What's the point of light? So we can see in a dark room or in a dark place. So why in the world would we have a lamp? Why in the world would we have a light just to cover it up for no one to be able to see it? But the thought is, maybe some of us with this series, you know, maybe some of us have been doing that with our faith. Maybe it has become exclusive where we're not letting people necessarily know about our faith. Jesus goes on to say, he says, instead a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. That's us. We are the light of the world. That's where we come in. Man, it's to be able to spread the light in the middle of this dark world. And if you haven't looked around, man, the world is pretty nasty and pretty dark. It needs a lot of light. Man, that's where we are able to come in. In week one, we asked this question, which is kind of difficult for us to answer sometimes. Does anyone even know about your faith? And man, when we really sit on that, does anyone really know about my faith in Jesus? And that's what we talked about week one. And week two, we talked about the people that we should be reaching about of our faith. And then in week three, last week, we talked about that we are all influencers. Whether you have a following of one or a following of 1,000, we have influence, that we are actually influencers. And man, we can have a major influence for the people that are in our lives, the people that are around us. Every single day we get that opportunity. And today we've titled the message, Brand Ambassador. Do we know what brand ambassadors are? I'm sure most of us have probably heard what a brand ambassador is. Man, we think that it is because of the age of social media that people are brand ambassadors. And what they do is they make posts and they highlight different types of companies or products or different things so people will be pushed to their site or their store to be able to buy things and spend money. And that's what a brand ambassador is. But it's not something new at all. In fact, it's been around for decades. Social media has just heightened it to another level, but it's been around forever. I mean, think about it. Whenever I say, you know, the good old Jell-O pudding pops, some Jell-O pudding, who do we think of? We think of Bill Cosby. When I say snap into a Slim Jim, who are we thinking of? The Macho Man, Randy Savage. When you say Nike, most of us will think of Michael Jordan. who created really his own brand out of Nike with the Jordans, which makes billions of dollars a year. If we think of Nike and golf, it's Tiger Woods, the greatest golfer that has ever lived. And this was big news in the golf world, where just recently, over the last couple months, Tiger Woods actually left Nike to create his own brand, but to be a brand ambassador. It's become a very lucrative career for so many people just to be able to push certain types of brands. Some of the top ones in the world, Selena Gomez makes $2.5 million per post that she has the brands that she is associated with. $2.5 million per post. Brands like Pantene, Coke, or Coach. Kylie Jenner, $2.3 million per post for brands like Calvin Klein and Adidas. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, same thing, $2.3 million a post for Under Armour, Ford, Apple. The highest one out there, Ronaldo, a soccer player, $3.3 million per post. We're thinking that's astronomical money. Just to be able to post something on social media and make that type of money for a brand, it's unbelievable. It's because they have hundreds of millions of followers. Companies are going to pay them this money. But even people who aren't well-known celebrities, some of these social media influencers that we see, even make anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 per post based on their following. It's unbelievable. I mean, when I hear that, I'm like, sign me up. How do I get to be a part of that? I could go for $100,000 a post. I'll do that all day long. There's no problem with that. And so many people want to be these brand ambassadors. Why? It's for the money. But that money's going to be gone. That money's not going to last. It's not going to last forever. Yeah, it seems great now, but man, if we put all of our happiness and money, man, it is gone. So today we're going to talk about what it would look like to be a brand ambassador for Christ. Because that's a way bigger responsibility. And man, there's way more benefit to being a brand ambassador for Christ than there is to get a little extra money in the pocket. So we're going to walk through three things today as far as what that would look like to be a brand ambassador for Christ. So let's pray. We'll dive into his word this morning. Man, God, we love you. And we're just so thankful for the opportunity. We're just so thankful to be able to gather together. We're thankful for Jesus and what he's done. God, we just want to pray over your word today. God, pray that we will receive it. God, you know everything that's going on in our lives. You know everything that's happening in the lives of the people around us. God, you know the things that we don't want anyone to know about. You know the things that are holding us down. God, you know the things that need to be worth celebrating. And God, I just pray you'll bring that to the surface today. I pray your word will speak to us exactly where we need it in the exact moment that we need it, that when we leave this place, we'll be better off for it. God, I pray for the opportunity to be a brand ambassador for you. I pray that we leave here with an understanding of how important that is and what an honor and amazing responsibility that it is, God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So number one, for us to be able to represent, we must be a spokesman. We have to be a spokesman for Jesus. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows that we are sincere, and I hope that you know this too. What he's saying here is, hey, we have to work hard. This is an amazing responsibility that we have to be able to share our faith in Jesus with people. And we will do anything to be able to persuade others because it is that good. And it's not that we're selling snake oil here, but man, if we've experienced Jesus the way that so many have experienced Jesus, why would we not want people to know about it? To persuade others. He says, God knows that we are sincere in that. Listen, as a church, we will do anything short of sin for people to get to know who Jesus is because it's that important. Now, when I think of spokesman, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking infomercials and like the host of the infomercials. That's just where my mind goes. I don't know why it does, but it does. But we still have infomercials out there today. You ever been trapped by an infomercial? You just keep watching it over and over. You just can't stop. But that's what I think of. And they were very, very popular for late night TV. Like you can't sleep, you turn on infomercials and you'll watch them all night long. And the first one that I can remember watching, Amazing Discoveries with Michael Levy. We remember Amazing Discoveries. Amazing Discoveries was unbelievable. Like every product that he brought out there was the greatest, coolest, most amazing thing ever. And we're like, I have to have that. I've got to have that one too. The whole show, we think we have to have everything. Come on, OxiClean. Billy Mays here. Everyone knows Billy Mays. I mean, Billy Mays, he could have anything. He could soak your clothes in whatever the nastiest gunk that he could ever find. Just a little bit of OxiClean, and that was as clear as day. He cleaned everything with OxiClean. Come on, don't just clean it. OxiClean it. Man, we are bought into that guy, right? Remember Suzanne Summers in the Thighmaster? Come on, we see that. We just got to sit on the couch and squeeze our legs together. We're going to have amazing thighs, just like Suzanne Somers. She sold millions of these things, and then we found out she had liposuction instead. So, listen. You guys remember the gazelle and Tony Little? Little short blonde guy, had the ponytail. He was just out of control, just excited about everything. He's just on that gazelle constantly, just talking to you, just like this, over and over and over. Man, these are great hosts. George Foreman and the George Foreman Grill has made hundreds of millions of dollars off of his grill. Actually, fun fact, you know, George Foreman was not the original spokesman they wanted for this grill. It was actually Hulk Hogan who they went to. And Hulk Hogan said, I think that's not really a good idea. Instead, I'm creating the Hulkamania Meatball Maker. And he did. And we obviously see what a poor business decision that was. But it was the spokesman, Richard Simmons, sweating to the oldies. Come on, remember the ShamWow guy? Turned into the Slap Chop guy. I love the Slap Chop. Listen, he just takes that thing, bam, 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 all day long. He says, fettuccine, linguine, martini, bikini. He throws it behind his head. Look, come on. And it just lands in the sink. It's unbelievable what this guy is doing. Man, we are so drawn in by these people. The new one, Phil Swift and the Flex Seal tape. Listen, if you have a 50,000-gallon container that's got a big hole in it, just slap Flex Seal on it. It's going to be good to go. We've seen him do these things. He lifts a weight with a piece of tape. That's how strong this stuff is. Come on, he first cut a boat in half, taped it up, and it was able to go. He then used a screen door, just sprayed Flex Seal on the bottom of the boat, and it's fine. Listen, if you've seen him now, he just bought a frame. He said, guys, guess what we're going to do now? We're just going to make a boat out of Flex Seal tape all by itself. And sure enough, you see him cruising down the lake. He's got his headset on, still selling. With his little steering wheel, he's jumping waves in his Flex Seal tape boat. Man, he is convincing of it. So listen, if you're in the market for a boat, don't go waste your money. Just get some packs of Flex Seal tape. You're good to go because Phil Swift was able to do it. But man, it's all about the spokesman. Man, they sell it so well. Some of these products are terrible. But the spokesman, man, they were able to sell it. You ever been duped by a spokesman on a terrible product? Yeah, I got duped by the ab belt. I thought, yeah, electrocuting your abs, that's going to make total sense. Let's buy several of them. By the way, it doesn't work. But man, the salesman was great. The spokesman was great. And those infomercials, we'll hear things like, but wait, there's more. If you act now, we'll quadruple your order and we'll throw in 3,000 steak knives that you can cut boots with for only $99.95 shipping and handling. And there's always more, and they dive you in, man. You can't stop. That's what we should be for Jesus. We should be that spokesman for Jesus. So realistically, like, are we that invested with Jesus that we can be that type of spokesman? Like, do we care enough? Like, if we hear someone that's struggling with something or they're going through something, I mean, what do we say? What do? We just say, oh, that stinks. Well, that's your problem, not mine. Glad I don't have to deal with that. And we just go on our merry way. Are we going to be a spokesman for Jesus? Are we going to be an advocate for Jesus? Are we going to step in that situation and be like, man, I'm so sorry. Hey, you're going through that. You want to talk about it? Listen, I'm here for you. You're not going to be alone in this. Man, offer to pray for them. Don't just say, hey, praying. Don't just type it in on social media. Man, pray for them. Actually do it. Call them. Hey, you want to talk about it? Hey, I'm going to pray for you. Man, go a step further. Say, God, I believe in you. God, we're praying for the Jones family. We know they're going through something terrible right now. God, we're praying for healing. We're praying for comfort. We're praying for peace, obviously, God. But listen, what do you want from me in their situation? God, what can I do in their situation? Because, God, I believe in the power of prayer, and prayer will change people, and I'm a person who can change their situation. God, use me because I am your vessel. Are we that type of spokesman for Jesus? What does it actually look like? Man, take it that step further. But to do it the way Jesus would. Not after we see someone who's doing something, maybe that's out of character, maybe something that's not right. And man, we can't wait to jump on top of them. We just beat them with the Bible and let them know how awful they are. Remember what Galatians says, gently and humbly. I think that gets lost for so many of us, to gently and humbly approach people. What kind of spokesman are we for Jesus? How well does that look? I mean, when we look at all of these guys, when we see these spokesmen, man, they're genuine. Man, they're confident in their product. Man, they're compelling, but they're so enthusiastic about it. That's what buys us in. If we're going to be a spokesman for Jesus, are we going to be enthusiastic? Are we going to see someone and say, hey, Can't wait to tell you about Jesus. Listen, he changed my life, and he's great. You know, John 3:16 is pretty cool. He could probably, no one's going to want to listen to that. We're going to tune out immediately. But man, if we're excited about it, if we're pumped about it, man, it changes everything. We could be the greatest spokesman for Jesus that anyone has ever seen. It's what our responsibility is. This is just as simple as sharing your story. Listen, you don't have to know all the scripture. You don't have to be able to quote everything. You don't have to know all the stories. You don't have to be able to pronounce everyone's name. All you got to do is say, hey, I was like this. Man, now I'm this. And I don't know all the ins and outs of what happened, but there was one thing that happened, and it was Jesus. That's all that it takes. That's how we become a great spokesman for Jesus. The second part, number two, we need to be a model. We need to be a model for Jesus. We need to model our lives after him. What Paul says in verse 15, he says, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. To be a model, to model our life exactly how Jesus did. Jesus is the only one who can bring dead things back to life. He just is. So how do we model our lives? What is a model? I mean, it's the prototype. I mean, when companies are going to build something, they have a prototype. Man, this is going to be the first one. It's the original. It's the model to see how things are going to go. And it's going to be a replica of it, an example to follow, something to imitate. Everyone's seen Back to the Future in here? I hope you've seen Back to the Future. If not, it's been out forever, and this is on you if I spoil it. But listen, Back to the Future, when Marty goes back to 1955 and he finally gets to Doc, and Doc can't believe that Marty is there in a time machine that he built until he shows him the DeLorean and the flux capacitor and all that. And they say, all right, well, we got to send you back to the future, and the only thing that we can do is use the bolt of lightning because it's 1.21 gigawatts, and only lightning can do that. So what does Doc Brown do? He builds a model of Hill Valley. It is amazing. As a kid, I can remember seeing it like, that's kind of awesome. Like, it looks just like Hill Valley. He's got the clock tower. Come on, he's got the poles and the wires of where the lightning's going to go through. He simulates lightning. He's got the DeLorean. He's got Marty. He's got the whole thing. He's built a model so they'll know exactly what to do and exactly how it goes. Jesus has built us the perfect model of what our lives are supposed to look like. Now, will we ever measure up to it? No. We're not going to be the original. But we can do everything we can to come close. Because, man, when we are so close to the original, where we're almost an exact replica, it changes things. I brought something I want to show you this morning. Because it just, man, it just changes the way we feel. That whenever we have an exact replica, it's different. Man, when we're modeling our lives after Jesus, man, it makes us feel good. And when I hold this sucker in my hands, y'all, watch out. Because now, I'm the WWE heavyweight champion of the world, and no one can take that away from me. I'm taking this thing with me. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm the champion. Nobody's going to get this. John Cena, eat your heart out. I took yours. Look at that sucker. That's what I'm talking about. Because when we hold this in our hands, man, it's nothing cheap. It's no cheap replica at all. It's like the real deal. This thing is heavy. You can feel it. It's made out of leather. It's awesome. But this doesn't make me the champion of the world, as much as I'd like to try to believe. But man, it makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we're something. I'm issuing an open challenge to everyone in the lobby after church for this. Let's go. But it's an exact replica. This is how our lives should be modeled after Jesus. So close to the original that it's almost difficult to tell. Is it the actual one? No, it's not. We can get this for a couple $100 online. But man, it's close, and our lives should be the exact same way. So I want to ask us today, are we a good model for Jesus? Are we so close to the real thing? Or are we just a cheap plastic replica? That you look at this like, ha, Powers, that is nothing close to the real thing. I would not take you serious as a champion ever. So which one is it going to be? How do we look whenever we model our life after Jesus? Are you a good model or bad model? Because here's the deal. People don't know Jesus. It's up to us to make sure that they do. It's why we exist. It's why we are created. So what kind of model do we look like? Because here's what I know. If we're supposed to represent Jesus, and every single time that the waiter gets our order wrong at the restaurant, what do? We beat them down. We yell at them. We talk about how awful they are, how terrible your establishment is, and we're just so mean to the waiter because they got something wrong on our order. Because we see something on social media that we don't like, and we post something terrible about this person, about this business, about this thing, about this situation, and we're just so mean. We watch our teams play, and we lose our minds because something didn't happen the way that we thought that it should on a game that we have no control over at all, and we're yelling at people, we're punching walls, we're knocking TVs off the walls, we're losing our minds at every single person we come in contact with who we disagree with. And we call ourselves followers of Jesus who do that? I'm just going to be honest with you. If I don't know Jesus and that's what a follower of Jesus looks like, no thanks. If that's Jesus, I don't want any part of that. So who are we? Are we the cheap replica? Are we going to be close to the real thing? We're to be a model for Jesus. So how do we do that? We live the way Jesus does. His characteristics. I've got a few extra ones for you to write down here. The characteristic of truth in our lives. Everywhere. John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, we live for the truth of Jesus. John 8. The truth will set you free. We live with conviction. Not condemnation of others, but conviction in our lives. Condemnation is born out of guilt, but conviction is born from grace. We live with conviction. We live with love the way that Jesus loved. There's so many examples in the scripture. Look at the prodigal son, an amazing display of love. We live like the father in the prodigal son. We have grace. In John 8, when the woman was caught in adultery, she was brought out to the streets, brought in front of Jesus. They wanted to stone her because that was the law. What did Jesus do? He said, he who is without sin will throw the first stone. What happened? No one threw a stone. Why? Because everyone had sin. He showed a tremendous amount of grace. We should be able to do that. Patience, especially with the religious leaders and the Pharisees. Man, in Mark 2, when the guys lowered their friend through the roof, the Pharisees were like, no, you can't do that. It's not. Who are you to do that? Jesus shows tremendous patience with them, compassion. When his friend Lazarus dies, he showed tremendous compassion. He knew what was about to happen. But compassion for Martha and Mary, compassion for all of the people. Shows so much generosity in his life. Lives with the characteristic of forgiveness, like we could never imagine. When Jesus is on the cross, his final moments coming to a close, what does he say? The people that are beating him to death, throwing things at him, spitting out, calling him everything. What does he say? Father, forgive them, for they just don't know what they're doing. So when we see people who don't yet really know God, and we may disagree with it, Father, forgive them. They just don't know. We didn't like what happened. Father, just forgive them, because they just don't know. He died for everyone. And that's the great news. He died for me. He died for you. Knowing all of the stuff, he died for us. So the least we can do is to try our best to measure up to him and to be his model. Because when he dies for us, here's the hard part. Now we die for him. What's that mean? We die to our own desires, to our own thoughts, to the way we wanted it to go. We die to our own plan, our own agenda. And we live for his. It's how we model Jesus in everything that we do. We're his spokesman. We're his model. And then number three, we have to be a representative. We have to be a representative for Jesus. Paul says in verse 20, he says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ, and when we plead, come back to God. Talked about it earlier. We'll do anything short of sin for people to know who Jesus is. Knows our cries. Come back to God. We're like the House of Representatives. Not getting political at all, but the House of Representatives. What are they supposed to do? They're to represent us, to represent the people. Like if I have a grievance, if I've got something going on that I don't agree with, or maybe I want to change a law, I can't just go knock on the door of the Capitol or the White House and say, hey, I don't like this. I want to change now. And it just happens. It doesn't work that way. We have elected officials who represent us, who go on our behalf, who speak on our behalf, who are supposed to work on our behalf. We're to be a representative for Christ, which is way, way more important than being a representative in the government. It just is. It's a lot more on the line than the things of this world. Tony Evans explains it this way. He says, we're like an embassy. We're like the U.S. embassy. See, you take the U.S. embassy, and it's a little piece of America, and in a foreign land, far, far from home. And the thing about the U.S. embassy, it does not operate according to the laws of the land that they're in. It still has U.S. laws in the embassy. They're not a part of the country that they're in. They're still part of the United States. We are God's embassy. We are God's embassy. And we are planted in a place that we are supposed to be. We don't represent all the things of this world. We represent Him. And we live for Him. That He is working in us and through us. He is working through us individually and through us collectively as a church. Why? To be able to operate in the way in which He designed us. We do not represent the country that we are in. We represent Him. So what does that mean? How does that look in every area of our life? Do you look like you are from this world, or are you from God's embassy? Meaning this, we are to be in this world, not of it. We're here, we're planted here, but we are not of this world. We are part of something way bigger. We are part of the kingdom of God. We have to represent Jesus in every circumstance. We cannot change the world if we are of that world. We just can't. So what do? We have to, one, understand that all those things that we're searching for so badly, that void, that hole that we feel in our lives, where the world is saying, hey, you just live your truth. You just do what makes you happy. If you feel that way, that's great. You just do whatever you want to do. And then we grab a hold of that. It feels good for a moment. And then it's God. We just need more because it's not fulfilling. That's the stuff of this world. This world will not provide you the peace, the joy, and the hope that Jesus does. It never will. We are not of this world. The world cannot give what the world does not have. And once you grab a hold of that, once you grab a hold of Jesus and you have Him, the world cannot also take away all of those things that it never gave you in the first place, because it all came from Jesus. All came from Jesus. President John Adams said this. He said, the duty is ours, but the results are God's. The duty is ours. It is our duty to represent Jesus, to be a model of Jesus, to be a spokesman for Jesus. The results are up to God, not up to us. It's up to Him. So what do? How do we represent? The answer is actually very, very simple, but it's very difficult for us to be able to actually follow through. We live the gospel. We live the gospel. Because there will come a point in time where every single person in this room, where everyone who is watching online won't be here anymore. It's just one of the realities of life. And our children and our children's children's future will largely be dependent upon how we represent Christ now. So what do? We live out the gospel. Not just the bits and pieces that make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Not the one that makes for a great Instagram quote. But we live out the whole gospel. The one that teaches about sin and repentance, but also grace and mercy and the love of Jesus. We live out that John 14:6 gospel where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and nobody gets to heaven except through me. Saying that Jesus isn't a way to heaven, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I understand that may not sit well with a lot of us. That may not sit well in our current society today. It may be seen as mean. It may seem as exclusive, that it's outdated, that it's hatred. But it's loving and it's true. It's loving because it's true. And man, if we know the truth, why in the world would we not want to share it with people? We live out the whole gospel where we say, I'm going to lay down my truths, my wants. I'm going to lay down my life for His, no matter how uncomfortable that may make me feel. That Jesus is the life, not just a person to believe in, but he is the life to follow. He is the life to follow, not because I'm going to follow it blindly because some person on a platform one day told me to, but no, he is a life to follow because of my interaction with him, because of what I've experienced with him. That is why I will follow Jesus, because of his love and his peace and his hope that he provides in me, no matter the situation, because it's not always easy. But whatever it is, we have the hope in Jesus because he's the only one who's able to provide it. How do we represent Jesus? We live the gospel every moment of every single day the best that we can. We experience his love, his truth, and his grace. Where we can say, no matter the circumstance, my hope comes from Jesus. We can say, no matter what is going on, no matter how miserable this disaster is, my hope is in Jesus. That even though I'm falling to addiction, I'm struggling with addiction, my hope is in Jesus. Even though I'm fighting cancer right now, my hope is in Jesus. Even because my life is falling apart, my family's falling apart, my kids are falling apart, my marriage is falling apart, my finances, my career, because my whole world is crumbling down, my hope is in Jesus. It's how we live out the gospel every single day. We represent Jesus. Why? Because of John 3:16. Because he loves you, and he loved me so much that he sent us Jesus. That's how we represent him. So I want to pray for you. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, our worship team's going to come back. And if you're our guest today, listen, no one's coming to get you. This is a moment you have with Jesus. Whatever that looks like. It's an opportunity for us to kind of align ourselves and be able to represent Jesus. And whatever that looks like for you. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, today's a new day. Today is a beginning. Man, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Man, he loves you so much. And next week, we celebrate him going to the cross for us. He did it for you. Knowing everything, he did it for you. So how do we represent Jesus? Man, we put away all those things that we thought we knew, all those things that we thought we wanted, all those things, all those plans that we have, and we say, God, I'm submitting it to you, and Jesus, I'm living for you. Simply say, God, I need you. God, I love you. And I'm asking for forgiveness for my sins today. That God, I recognize that I need Jesus. That I know that you sent him to die on a cross for me. And today I recognize him as my Lord and Savior, and I want to make Jesus number one in my life. And God, for all of us, all month long, we have talked about representing you. And we've prayed for opportunities to represent you. And God, we're going to double down on it even more. God, I pray over every single person in this room, over every single person who is watching over online. God, I pray that you'll give us that opportunity this week. God, that you will bring people into our lives to intersect with us in the exact moment that they need them. Why? Because we're going to be ready. We're going to be equipped. God, we understand that it is our job, it is our opportunity to represent you for someone else who doesn't know you. That it's not about me, it's not about my feelings, but God, it is all about you, and it's about just bringing more people to you for the life change that we have experienced, God, for those people to be able to experience the exact same thing. God, we're praying for an opportunity for all of us. And God will make you proud. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Can we honor Jesus together? Come on. Yeah.